Kevin McCullough, you know, each day we like to talk about the breaking news as it happens and what it means and, of course, why it matters. But there's often times where I feel really blessed to be able to kind of set the newspaper aside for a second and delve into something a bit deeper and more complex and sometimes much more important, in my own opinion. And that's how I feel about the substance of my next guest's new book. In fact, Britt Hume was raving about it on Twitter just a few days ago, and I knew that I had not seen any of the pre-stuff for this book, which is really weird because everybody on planet Earth sends me their books. But we were able to make this connection, and Shannon Bream of Fox News, who is one of the universally most beloved people in the news industry, you ask anybody in the business what they think of Shannon Bream, and you get resolute, positive feedback. But she's been able to join us, and Shannon, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today.
Kevin, you are so kind. Thank you.
I've always known that there was a faith component to who you are, and there's certainly a degree of excellence in your work, and there's a lot of things that come through just by the way you present yourself and the way you carry yourself. Dogged determination to good journalism, all of your reporting from the Supreme Court for all the years that Fox had you as the kind of the senior legal analyst. But until, like what Britt said in his tweet, until I got into some of the substance of your book, which I just got yesterday, I had no idea to some degree what kind of life you had experienced. And I'm just curious, why was it now that you thought particularly was time to kind of drop the curtain and let everyone know kind of the other side of your story?
Well, you know, I'd been posting little tidbits and stories here and there on social media, on Facebook, and one story in particular that I wrote about losing my wedding ring and then, you know, finding it months later and just the joy and the tears of joy and experiencing that, I put the story out there and people, I mean, hundreds of people wrote back and had their own stories, and they so identified with being heartbroken over losing this thing that meant so much to me, and just the joy in rediscovering it. And kind of these stories were coming together, and I was approached about doing a book, and I thought I was going to do something serious, like,
right,
you know, the history of religious freedom or, you know, court battles at the Supreme Court. And the publisher said, no, we want more of these stories. And so I thought, okay, let's do that. I mean, just be open and vulnerable with people about funny things, embarrassing things, hard things. Because I think, really, if people look and they only know your public persona or what's on Instagram, they think, oh, your life is so great and easy. I don't know that that really helps anybody. But I thought, you know, by being vulnerable and transparent, you know, you can hopefully encourage someone who's in a tough spot, because we're all going to be there at some point.
Yeah. Well, and I want people to get the book. It's called Finding the Bright Side, The Art of Chasing What Matters. Shannon Bream is the author. And of course, she's beautifully portrayed on the cover in that kind of classic Fox News blue dress. I tell people, Shannon,
issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So people ask me all the time, they're like, is there some secret room where they keep all those dresses in the same place? I said, I've never seen it, but I think that there actually is such a room that it does actually exist in. Hey, let's talk. I want to get back to the book in a bit, but I want to pick your brain a little bit on what you do for a living, because you've had a very interesting career. You've gone from being a reporter in the field, now you're a host, and you still have all the same passions, you still have all the same expertise. But how has reporting news changed for you going in studio as opposed to on location?
Yeah, it's a little different to not be out there on the campaign trail, sort of like Peter Ducey is for us now, and chasing people around and, you know, doing weeks and weeks in Iowa and different places and not knowing where you're going to eat next or how cold it's going to be, or, you know, all those kinds of things. It's an adventure out there, and you really can get with a lot of the candidates pretty close to them and have conversations. So it's a different kind of access than doing what I do now. So I still try to make a real effort to build relationships with the campaigns and with different people so that you can still, you know, break news and find out what they're really about and what their policies are about, that kind of thing. I do still report on the Supreme Court, so I love those days that I'm out there. They make for long days.
Right.
But I love it so much in kind of a super nerd way that it makes me really happy.
Yeah, no,
when
but
I can get
you're,
over there and
you're satisfying all of us super nerds that are loving the fact that the wind's blowing you and you're standing there with the brief and it's like 400 pages long and you're like on
right.
page 12 and you're like, but so-and-so argued this and that's why it matters. And like,
I know.
It's really,
I love it. It's probably, you know, the most fun that I have. It's definitely a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. No, it's you're good at it. Talk to us a little bit about, for people that don't know much about your background, where did you come from before Fox News?
Well, I was a lawyer, and I knew, somebody asked me this morning about, when did you know you didn't always want to be a lawyer? And I was like, in law school, just keeping it honest. I mean, I really felt like there were things about the law I loved and really enjoyed, and that's why I was studying it, but I didn't want to be a lawyer and practice for the rest of my life. I saw how miserable some of my coworkers were who'd become partners, and you know, I thought, yikes, you really got to love this because it's all consuming. And I thought, if I'm going to do something all consuming, I really should be doing what I love. And I've always been a news junkie. So, I mean, at the ripe old age of like 28, 29, I decided to intern at a local TV station. And so I would practice law during the day. And then nights and weekends, any reporter or producer, anybody who would let me go along with them, I interned at the station. And listen, I'd make coffee and answer the phones and do whatever they needed me to do and just kind of pick up things along the way. And then I suddenly announced to my boss at the TV station, well, I'm going to quit my law firm. And he's like, no one here's offered you a job. But I was like, well, just a technicality. I'm just taking a leap of faith. And that was kind of my first foray. I had a 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. assignment. And I would write scripts for the morning anchors and work the teleprompter and just kind of learned everything from the ground up.
Well, I love that because in my in just what I do with radio mostly, as long as I've been doing it, there's a lot of kids that, you know, look at you and go, oh, wow, what do you do? And how can I do what you do? And I'm like, well, it's the better you know it from the inside out, from every position that it takes to pull it off, the more likely. But it wasn't like you necessarily probably, and I'm speaking a little bit out of school here, but I'm pretty sure that there are young people that look at someone with your past resume and would say, but you were a beauty pageant winner, you were a gifted communicator, you had all this stuff, you still had to go do the internship. Like, speak to that for a second.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the best thing in the world that can happen to you, because you do learn how to do everything on your own, which I think is fantastic in any business. Like you said, in radio, you need to know, you know, how to dial in an interview, how to cut tape, how to do everything. I mean, it's the same thing with TV. And I think that each place that you get to, which is the next step in your journey, your professional journey, to have all that stuff under your belt, you can appreciate then if people are helping you with that, you know who's doing what and how it gets done. And in crunch, you can do it yourself. I mean, I really needed to learn everything because I didn't have a broadcasting or communications degree. And I learned on the job by, you know, people who are kind enough to say, listen, you don't know what you're doing. Here it is. And I'll walk you through it.
Yeah. Although I think that the comm degree is a little bit of a useless degree, right? Like if I'm going to hire talk show hosts for a network, I'd rather get a bunch of people that were lawyers or theologians or, you know, politicians or people that had like some sort of real life discipline that they can then bring into the studio, because I can teach you to do all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't necessarily build your resume on some of the expertise that that they're able to bring. Let me ask you about this specifically. Doing news from the nation's capital, which is not per se the news headquarter of the news HQ for the nation. What's it like? What's unique about your job in D.C. as opposed to not being based in New York?
Well, I will say, you know, politics is so much at the center of our headlines these days. Mm-hmm. And really walking around D.C., you will actually in McDonald's or wherever you are run into members of Congress. You never know you're going to end up in an elevator with somebody and have a conversation, pick up a tidbit of news. You really are interacting with newsmakers all the time around here. I mean, they're just human beings out walking among you. And you can sometimes get really good tips by chasing them around Capitol Hill or whatever you can do. I say to people all the time now, I didn't ever think I'd use my law degree as much as I'm using it in this business. But because so many of these things are getting tied up in court, battles over subpoenas and you know, immigration policies and everything else, I'm really using that a lot, too. So, you know, for me, it's kind of the dream job, the combination of the best of all the different worlds. And so I just think D.C. is endless right now when it comes to headlines, and it's 24 hours a day.
Well, and the thing my next question is, how much different is it reporting news in a Trump administration era as opposed to what preceded it?
I actually just ran into another reporter from another outlet that I've known forever in the business, and he said, you know, we'll take a nap when there's a different administration. It's not happening with this president because, listen, he's got tons of energy. He loves being out there on social media and engaging. Yeah. He keeps all kinds of hours day and night, doesn't need as much sleep as the average human being, I don't think. So we're always on our toes, and it's not like, oh, you're off Saturday and Sunday. No, you're watching because things break then, and you got to be constantly engaged.
No, I get it. Talk radio has had its best years in years because of him. Real quickly, the book is called finding the bright side, and that would, by some degree of deductive reasoning, mean that there were some not bright sides to Shannon Bream's life. Talk to me a little bit about why you feel like it's important to focus on the bright side.
Yeah, because I think every single one of us, as I said, is going to have really difficult things, whether it's getting fired or getting a horrible health diagnosis or losing someone that you love. I mean, there's pain in all of our lives. So for me, it's trying to find the purpose in that, the way that you grow through it. I mean, for me, you know, I'm a Christian and my faith is the most important thing for me. So it's been a comfort through the worst things, but also the time that I probably grow and mature the most when you really go through a struggle. And in perspective, you can look back in retrospect and see, you know, there was something good that came through that. I became a better person, more empathetic, more compassionate. And now it's my turn to help someone else, to reach out to them when I can see they're struggling. And that's kind of the purpose of the book as well, just to be sort of a lifeline for people and be honest about the dark places that I've been, and hopefully in that encourage them.
Yeah, and like I said, friend, if you're listening to this for the first time and you've seen Shannon's work, you've probably thought she's never encountered a bad day in her whole life because she's such a just a source of joy. But and that's the, I have to say, Shannon, I mean, just dropping all pretense here completely. When you're in the midst of what you do best, which is, you know, talking on Fox News, and you're in an interview, or you're in with the guys from Fox and Friends, or almost any context I've ever witnessed, like, there's always a wink and a smile in how you may be even reporting things, I don't know, that maybe you disagree with, or maybe that sometimes are very important, but you find a way to make it so positive. And I think that that doesn't happen by accident. What's some of the secrets in terms of how you choose to stay on that side of, whatever you're discussing at any moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point using the word choice, because I do think we have choices with whatever we're facing, whether it's a professional or personal issue. And so my thing is, listen, I've been out with the book and meeting a lot of people, signing in person and that kind of thing. And the one thing I hear consistently from them is, we love watching your show because we don't really know where you are politically, but you give everybody a chance and there's not screaming and craziness. And I'm like, that's my goal. You know, I want people to be informed, but to feel like it's been a positive experience, not like they're walking away emotionally, you know, hyped up and distraught and thinking the world is ending. I mean, right. I think there are important conversations to have, and there are valid viewpoints across the spectrum, and that we need to show each other a little respect. And you don't have to agree. You should certainly hold on to your own core principles, but at least treat the other person like a human being and hear them out. So I think that there's value in that, and that's what we want to give our viewers.
You're about the fourth or fifth Fox host that I've interviewed in the last couple of years that has brought up publicly the fact that they are a faith-oriented person. And I think you've all put it in published writing and so forth as well. I get the feeling that that's probably not as much encouraged in other places. What's unique about where you work and your ability to kind of have that freedom to be who you naturally are?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it is probably because our audience is in that same place. We hear from folks who, these are people who are working hard. They are salt of the earth. They're in church. They have faith or a house of worship for them. And so I think it's very much, you know, we just kind of relate to the people who are engaged with us. I mean, I have people send me Bible verses or devotion books or share that, you know, they've prayed for me about something. And I just find that really sweet and comforting and feel like, you know, it's a really supportive thing. And I don't know. For me, it's the essence of who I am. So I would never hide that. And, you know, Fox has always been a place where we could openly discuss those kinds of things. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be an issue with anyone. I mean, there are a lot of people here at Fox who do have a strong faith and find it important in their life and are happy to share it publicly,
yeah,
too.
Well, when Megyn Kelly walked away from Afternoons, I publicly advocated for you to get that job. But now that Harris has me on so often, I said, you're killing it in the evenings, and she's killing it there, and just doing a great job, Shannon, and keep it up. And yeah. I love the strength of your witness, and I love the way you point people in the right way to try to see the bright side of things, as as your book well says, Finding the Bright Side, The Art of Chasing What Matters. Shannon Bream is the author. And it's, by the way, it's been endorsed by some of my favorites, Max Lucado, that Metaxas guy. You know, you put his name on your book, Shannon. Here's
I
the
mean,
problem.
I mean, I did that as a favor to him because he's a struggling artist. You
well,
know?
Here's the thing.
I wanted to lift him up.
But we within Salem, now we have to try to get in the same doorway with that guy. And that head
Good
is
luck.
Already so big. Like, it can barely get through there to begin with. Now, you put him on your cover. Now, you just made our lives that much harder. But
I wanted to reach down and lift someone up who needed our help.
Right.
My dear friend Eric Metaxas.
Eric really struggles with what he thinks of himself. I've noticed that he's very low confidence. Just kidding, Eric. You know, he used to be in the studio right next door, but now he's up the street from us. Anyway, Shannon, congratulations and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin with Color Radio. Stay with us.